Hey, why'd I do it now? Yay, hey! I voted for Obama. Thought I'd give the brother some play. I dug that hope and changing. Yes, I did. But now I'm so regretting that day. Everything around me, damn, seemed to be a going to hell. And then one day it hit me, right between the eyes, baby. Obama maybe wasn't so swell, 'cause he was lying, dictating, and wealth redistributing. I had to do something. I jumped up on my chair and said, next time I'm voting for the white boy. Kiss Obama's butt goodbye.
Yeah.
Next time I'm voting for the white boy. Lay down my ballot and give that Mormon crack a duke.
You know why?
I had to tell my family. They thought that I was mentally disturbed. Could I diss a homie? How could I? And kicks old brother straight to the curb. I knew they wouldn't listen. They never do. They was riding that entitlement train. For me, the choice was easy. So easy. That Kool-Aid hadn't poisoned my brain. 'Cause he was taxing and spending and socialismizing. The country was sinking. I had to take a stand and said, next time I'm voting for the white boy. Kiss Obama's butt goodbye. Next time I'm voting for the white boy. Lay down my ballot and give that Mormon crack a dude a try.
We better try. Or we might die. Take it, Mike Huckabee.
It's hard to be a black guy living a conservative way. But there's a whole bunch of us, a
lot more than you think,
and adding more dudes every day. Liberals gonna tell you that all of us will vote for Barack. But just wait till November. Just you wait. I think the country's in for a shock. 'Cause he was blaming and whining and big time pissing, moaning. I'd about had a buttload. I stood up black and proud and said, next time I'm voting for the white boy. Kiss Obama's butt goodbye. Next time I'm voting for the white boy. Lay down my ballot and give that Mormon crack a good try.
Don't be shy. Vote for that Romney guy.
Next time I'm voting for the white boy.
Voting for the white boy.
Voting for the white boy.
Everybody vote for the white.
Well, there you go. Next time I'm voting for a white boy. It don't make any difference. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Hey, this is Terrible Tommy. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio, and I'm in the bunker right here in north central Indiana on a dismal, cloudy, cool day, and a little wet, too, but it isn't raining right now, okay? You can reach us at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. We're right here next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse in Philly Station, where we only sell Ethel and regular. And that's right next to our Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where we fix them up, bondo them up, paint them up, and get them back on the highway for the spring offensive. But not now. We're closed for the winter now. The boys are all hanging out over at the tavern. Come spring, say around April, we'll open up, and boy, there'll be 18-wheelers all up and down the road coming in here to pick up their big weapons of mass destruction. None of that little stuff. Not even Jeeps. The big ones with all those tracks on them, you know? Yeah, but when you come over here, don't forget to pull off the side of the road so my neighbors can get by. And then you get yourself your choice weapon of mass destruction that we bring in here from all over the world. We've been buying up a hell of a lot of stuff from ISIS. Yeah. And we've been having the Chinese bring the stuff over here in their Chinese junks. They bring it through the Gulf of Mexico, through the Caribbean first, then the Gulf of Mexico, and then up the Mississippi River, and they hook up to the Ohio River, and they come on up. Well, no, they come right on up the Mississippi River, and that branches off into some little rivers up here in Indiana. But not, we don't go all the way into Chicago, because we don't want to risk having our weapons of mass destruction hijacked. You go up there and leave your barge along the river for a night and go out and have a drink. You come back, you won't even have the tracks left on your weapons of mass destruction. So anyhow, we'll give you the good deals, baby, I'll tell you. And that stuff's almost new, too. You know how the U.S. war machine, they give all these weapons away, and then they're just laying out there in the desert. A lot of them still have their packing crates on, yeah. And you can just pick them up off the desert, and the boys can, the Chinese coolies can get them on there and get them on and get them out there on their Chinese junks and get them over here. Okay, that's enough of that bullshit. Now let's go on. You know, that song is sort of passé now that we played, but there's a lot of truth to it. The Republicans, it's funny how the Republicans, they totally blew it the last time around. You know, with that Romney guy, with that Mormon. That was funny. They thought that they were going to run a right-wing Republican, and he was going to go right on in there because people were upset with Obama. Well, it turns out that it didn't work that way, did it? So old Bomsky got himself 8 years in the White House. Well, this time they're trying to do it right this time. Yeah, they're going to do something different. They're going to get they got this Trump guy, a billionaire that feels your pain. He knows all about how the working class feels, and he treats the working class real nice, like he did those Polish guys he brought over to build buildings in New York City. Couldn't find anybody to build buildings here in the United States. He brought a whole bunch of them in, and then he didn't even give them the right equipment to work with and didn't pay them enough and the whole bit. Well, anyhow, what they're doing now is, since half of the population of the United States didn't even turn out to vote last time, they're trying to get them excited and get them back to the polls and hopefully to vote Republican. So they got this guy, Donald Trump, and he's telling them, he's screaming everything they want to hear, or at least a lot of people, even though most of these people are not even registered to vote. Nobody's reminded the Republican National Committee of that. You got to register. Anyhow, they think that this is going to get them all excited, and all those people are going to come back and register and vote for the Republican, which is going to be one of these other guys. I don't think there's a chance in hell it's going to be Trump. I think the transition's starting right now. They're pushing this Cuban guy or Cuban background, Cruz, I believe he is, and they're arguing now whether he's an American citizen or not. That's a waste of time because none of that means anything. Now they're saying that because his mother was a U.S. citizen, that automatically makes him a citizen. Well, you forget that was always decided by the male side of the family. It wasn't until about 1934 the Jews started getting a big head of steam in this country that it changed over to the mother, you know, typically Jewish. A lot of people don't know that. Traditionally, Aryan or white society and governments and so forth, it's been the male, the father, determined what your nationality was. So, anyway, that's something you may not know. Well, now they got almost a whole year to go crazy, and it's going to get pretty boring, but they're going to keep it so exciting, try to keep it so exciting, and nothing but entertainment, hopefully, to get the Republicans get back in office. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, this week, tomorrow, the Tea Party's having their big blowout down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But I heard there were busloads and busloads and busloads of progressives and even ISIS people going to come down there from New York City and see if they can break up the party. That's the rumor I heard. I don't know. Who knows? You know, it's sort of funny about these right-wing shows, radio shows. They're all over the place. And I notice that Breitbart, which is now trying to say it is the great champion of the right-wing conservative, whatever that is. The guy Steve, that's the big mouthpiece on there, is a Harvard Business School graduate. Well, that's interesting. A Harvard Business School graduate. And he's employed by Goldman Sachs. Now, with the combination of Harvard and Goldman Sachs, do you really want to trust that guy as a big conservative? I noticed today on the show they weren't talking about this Cruz loan that he got. He got about $1 million in loans from Goldman Sachs. One thing that might have helped him, his wife is an employee of Goldman Sachs. Now, he also was crying about how when he ran for U.S. Senate, he had to hawk all his furniture and everything, and they drove with an old car all around, and then he got elected to the Senate. They don't mention he had $1 million in a bank. From Goldman Sachs, no less. Now, do you trust a guy who gets his money from Goldman Sachs? I don't. It's funny how when things, the story in the news goes bad for these conservatives, how they just happen to forget about things and not talk about that. Didn't hear a thing about that on his radio show today. Of course, the progressives do the same thing when they got something hot about Hillary. However, there are some of the progressives that do come out and spill the beans on Hillary and like that. So, but anyhow, it's quite funny how the right wing plays it their way and then the left wing plays it their way. And you never get the whole truth. You got to get a little truth from both sides. Well, let's see what the Jewish press says about Mr. Cruz. If you're not a West Wing fan, this entire opening will not be nearly as meaningful as if you were. But I hope you'll get the gist of it. In the pilot episode of TWW, Three Fundamentalist Christians, not the show's favorite group in the world, Mary Marsh, Al Caldwell, and John Van Dyke arrive at the White House for a meeting with the senior staff. The context is that Josh Lyman needs to apologize to the visitors for something unkind he has said. Josh apologizes, and then Marsh, who is a tougher than her two male colleagues, begins to negotiation over concessions from the president to return for a truce. She puts it squarely to Lyman. Quote, what's it going to be? Quote, what's it going to be? Josh is taken back. We're not prepared to make a deal right now. Sure we are, she says, and then with total contempt adds, you're cleaning out your desk at the end of the day. I'll negotiate with Toby if that's all the same. Wow. Let's see here. Where am I at? At which point, Toby Ziegler says, it was only a matter of time. Then Marsh says, that New York sense of humor. They think they're smarter, but nobody else knows. Quote, I'm actually from Connecticut, says Josh, unaware of the dagger in his chest. So Toby explains, but the point is, she meant Jewish. New York sense of humor means Jewish. She meant you and me. One of the top 10 TWW moments in my book, when the show creator Aaron Sorkin sent a clear message to us, the viewers, that this was going to be a show about political reality we could get addicted to. Last night I heard Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz, a man I have been following favorably, trying to assess if my personal loathing of Hillary Clinton was strong enough to cast my vote for him should the time come. That Ted Cruz crossed the line in a way that I recognized on a deep and emotional, psychological level because I am a New York Jew. In an interview with Howley Carr radio show on Tuesday, Cruz, who had been attacked by everybody's favorite relentless bully, Donald Trump, about his American citizenship, suggested that Trump should play New York, New York at his rallies rather than born in the USA, which Trump had been using to suggest that Canadian-born Cruz wasn't. Well, like I said before, according to historically the deciding factor in whether you're a citizen of the United States has been based on the male, the father, not the mother. That sort of changed over in about 1934, and it's obviously why it changed over, because we started getting flooded with more and more Jews in this country, and that, of course, that's their determination. It's, if you're a Jew, it's by your mother. Anyhow, quote, I think he may shift in his new rallies to be playing New York, New York, because Donald comes from New York and he embodies New York values, Cruz said. Hey, there you're getting in choppy water there, Cruz. I didn't hear that exchange, and the news report didn't make it to my news junkie radar screen, but I would have because of that TWW episode. Some TV shows leave an impression, but I certainly took note at Thursday night's Republican candidates debate. Host Neil Cavuto said, Senator Cruz, you suggested Mr. Trump, quote, embodies New York values. Could you explain what you mean by that? Cruz, you know, I think most people know exactly what New York values are. Yeah, it's the geeks. And everybody laughed at that, too. Host Maria Bartiromo, I'm from New York. I don't get it. Cruz, she had to be pretty stupid not to get that. Cruz, what? You're from New York? So you might not? Ha ha, laughter. Cruz says, but I promise you, in the state of South Carolina, they get it. Cruz then says, and listen, there are many, many wonderful, wonderful working men and women in the state of New York, but everyone understands that the values in New York City are socially liberal or pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage focus around money and the media. And sort of, and as a happenstance, Jewish. He didn't say that. And I would note, indeed, the reason I said that is that I was asked. My friend Donald has taken to it as advanced playing Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, and I was asked what I thought of that. And I said, well, if he wants to play a song, maybe he could play New York, New York. And you, you know, the concept of New York values is not that complicated to figure out. You know, this is going to go right over the head of most of the stupid Christians. Not too many years ago, Donald did a long interview with Tim Russert, and in the interview he explained his views on a whole host of issues that were there, very, very different from the views he's describing now. And his explanation, he said, look, I'm from New York. That's what we believe in New York. Those aren't Iowa values, but this is what we believe in New York. And so that was his explanation. And I guess I can frame it in another way. Not a lot of conservatives come out of Manhattan. I'm just saying. That's funny. That's funny, man. That's funny. Saying it without saying it. Well, this Jew writer goes on to say, I believe in fairness, and so I cited the full transcript above, rather than shape it to serve my point with cuts and omissions. And for the record, I don't believe Senator Ted Cruz is an anti-Semite. He's a loyal friend of Israel and has enough Jewish following to suggest he isn't. But when he used the New York values quote, he did it in that very same vein as that character on West Wing as a short form for people like me. And the part that disturbed me the most was not so much what Cruz said, but the laughter and the applause of the audience. Yeah, they got it, as in, but I promise you, in the state of South Carolina, they do get it. You know, you can get a lot of, people say the Jews always lie. That's bullshit. I get a lot of good stuff from the Jews. Their newspapers, their magazines. What can I tell you as a New York Jew? When people down in the South Carolina laugh and applaud an insult at my expense, I get nervous, just like Toby Ziegler in the TV show. Oh, well, there you go. Anti-Semite Nazi Cruz borrowing money from the Jews. Well, that's nothing new. Uncle Adolf borrowed plenty of money from the Jews. Yes, he did. Don't kid yourself. So this article closes out by saying, if you don't see your comment after publishing it here, refresh the page. Our comments section is intended for meaningful responses and debates in a civilized manner. We ask you to respect the fact that we are a religious Jewish website and avoid inappropriate language at all costs. If you promote any foreign religions, gods, or messiahs, lies about Israel, anti-Semitism, or advocate violence except against terrorists, your permission to comment may be revoked. It's funny, man. It's funny. I've been reading a lot of these comments in these Jewish papers and magazines over Cruz's comments. It's interesting. Here's one. Jan, my wife, was a few blocks away when the towers were hit, and we figured out that's probably a sign it's time to leave. In the Deep South, we've found that many, if not most, natives have a very negative view of New Yorkers. If you happen to find an honest, well, loud enough mouthed one, you'll hear a litany of complaints about liberals, blacks, Puerto Ricans, and yes, Jews. But I think it's a general feeling about the loud, brash, liberal New Yorkers, and sometimes not as often as they would have thought. having watched so many movies with negative Southern stereotypes. They realize quite correctly that New Yorkers and Northerners in general have a very negative image of Southerners. I've seen this in people from Texas as well, so I could easily imagine that Cruz just picked this up as part of the culture, though I would guess he's also anti-Semitic. But isn't that just the part of the culture of this is going to get me in trouble, being a Jew? A lot of interesting letters in these Jewish magazines. Here's another point. Cruz, chief of staff, is Jewish. And I think you'll find that many of these candidates have an interesting collection of Jews in their cadre. And reading some of these articles by these militia people up there in Oregon, they're typical of that type of thinking that I've run into for a long time. Now, these guys, like most of these so-called hardcore right-wingers, talk about the Constitution constantly. When it comes up to election time, they really get into it. It's all Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. You don't hear that in the progressives hardly at all. Tom Harmon, maybe. But the rest of them, they don't talk about the Constitution. Because the Constitution literally was dead as of the Civil War, as far as I'm concerned. How can you keep hanging on to this ancient document at this late date? We're way beyond that. We're way fucking beyond that. But these, you can tell how unknowledgeable these people are when they, oh, we just got to get back to the Constitution. Well, you left the Constitution a long time ago. This government doesn't run by any Constitution. Hasn't for 100 years or more. God, I get so sick and tired of hearing that crap. On the other side, they laugh at that. They know you're a dummy if you're going to sit around whining about the Constitution. It'd be nice if it was as originally written, yeah, about the blacks and so forth like that. But once we got to the Civil War and in the aftermath of the Civil War and the race laws and the 14th Amendment, forget the damn Constitution, you dumb shits. As far as demanding my rights, you got no rights. You never did, really. Rights are a myth. You got privileges. And if the government and the criminal government wants to take them away, they take them away. They just kick your door in and you're gone, man. Quit using those terms like they're so wonderful, your rights. The prisons are full of people screaming, my rights, as they drag them out the door. We got to get out of this kind of thinking, and that's why I can't be part of the right wing, and I can't be part of the progressives either, you know, because it's all BS. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere, and the only way you're going to get back anything important in this country is an armed struggle. Yeah, all you FBI guys that are listening to this, I'm just telling these people the truth. And if you're not prepared to do that, well, forget it and wait till another generation that may be ready for that. I never heard any of these people around the world in the last 100 years yapping about the Constitution, revolutionaries. They just went out and did it. Castro didn't wait for the Constitution. I mean, you know, you say, oh, he's a communist. Well, he wasn't a communist when he started out. But anyhow, keep yapping about that Constitution, and you'll continue to lose, lose, lose. And if you wanted to reinstate the Constitution and clean it back up to what it was, back before the Civil War, you're going to have to bleed to do it. Going by the Constitution, the way it's interpreted now, is a waste of time. In fact, the Constitution is a weapon used against you, white man. Don't you understand that? It says in this article here, the militia, which had adopted the moniker Citizens for Constitutional Freedom, forget that, had taken over the park 4 days earlier and declared that they hoped to return the land to its homesteading roots. That isn't going to happen. They were at the fore of a larger movement they claimed aimed at forcing the U.S. government to relinquish control of large swathes of Western territory, a John Wayne fever dream of sorts intended to recreate a modern Wild West ideal. Well, that's true. You know, you're going to force the government? There's only one way you're going to force the government, is march into Washington and kill everybody in the White House. And I don't think you're prepared for that. Once you get done doing that, march up to New York City and clean out Wall Street and the Central Bank, Federal Reserve. And then maybe you can get back to some of the things or go forward to some of the things you really want. But it's not going to happen without something like I've just talked about. And that's not possible right now because white people don't even know what they'd be fighting over. They don't even know. Because when any white person says, well, I'm going to fight for the Constitution, just tell him what Tommy said. The Constitution's dead as a doornail and has been ever since the Civil War, as far as you're concerned. Well, black actors are all pissed off because those Jews kept them out of the Oscars in Hollywood the other night, or last night, I guess. They're going to cry and cry and cry. However, in some ways, they may be more correct than you think. I have no problem with black movies made for black people and white movies made for white people. I just don't like white movies crammed up with blacks and black movies being all black but a token white. And these blacks get pushy. We know the Jews pretty much control that Hollywood scene, so let them come out and say Jew. The Jews screwed us again. Well, there's a KKK leader trying to get out of prison. He murdered a 16-year-old black girl with a crossbow. He's up for parole after finding God and making friends with the African-American inmates in the prison. Oh, I see. He made friends with the prisoners and he got together with finding God. How about that? The imprisoned Ku Klux Klan leader who murdered a black teenager in 1992 is being reviewed for parole by the North Carolina Parole Commission because he found God. This happens a lot, and it's ridiculous. No matter who killed who, the point is non-existent God. And these guys in prison, I've known several guys, not friends of mine, but other people who went into prison, immediately grabbed a Bible and started preaching, and they got out early. Russell Henson was sentenced to life behind bars after he shot the 16-year-old Felicia Houston with razor-tipped arrows fired from a crossbow described by prosecutors at the time as a weapon out of the Middle Ages. Henson, now 56, who called himself the exalted Cyclops of the KKK, was said to be looking for revenge after a black drug dealer sold him $70 worth of cocaine, which he thought was overpriced. Ha! KKK leader, drug addict. His friend and co-worker, Guy Brown, who drove him around the neighborhood, tried to talk him out of shooting at Houston and her two cousins, saying they were only girls, before firing an arrow at the unsuspecting teenagers. Quote, I don't care. One of them is going to pay. One struck Houston, who crashed to the ground and, according to her cousin, screamed, I'm shot. I'm hurt. Henson's upcoming parole review will be his second after he was denied by the independent post-release supervision and parole commission 3 years ago. This really pisses me off because we got good guys still in prison after 30 years with the order, and they didn't kill anybody. He claimed to have found God 6 years ago in prison, where he helps teach masonry classes and has made several black friends. His uncle, Dennis Long, told the Charlotte Observer. He said Henson expressed remorse at killing Houston. No, he expressed remorse for being caught. and deserves a second chance, but the slain teenager's friends and local authorities think he should be kept off the streets. Well, just for stupidity, number one. See, things like this do more to give the Klan a bad name than anything. It was an absolutely cruel and heartless killing, said the Union County District Attorney Troy Robinson. She was targeted because of her race and for no other reason. Felicia's father, Eugene, says he has forgiven Henson. These fathers and mothers that forgive killers for killing their kids, I can't believe it. Well, they're probably big Christians, too, but does not believe he should be released, saying he got life and he should do life. Well, I'll tell you, I hate to see white men carted off to prison, but when they do stupid, counterproductive things like that, they deserve what they get. Under state law, when those convicted of the first-degree murder are up for parole, they are subjected to review every 3 years. But of the 217 cases last year, only four were approved. According to the Observer. Even if he is granted parole, he would be placed in federal custody and serve 5 years there for violating his probation. In 1987, he was on probation when he did this. Jeez. Henson obtained a permit for the KKK to march in Monroe, where the racist group had a large presence, in 1987. The same year, he pleaded guilty to attacking a black man who he claimed liked white girls and had a white roommate. In 1989, he split from the KKK after he was arrested for an intimidation charge related to the same assault. His victim, Felicia, was said to be a good student who wanted to become a nurse. Well, there you go. I don't know what the hell's going on with the white race. You can fight for the white race without being stupid and bad. Well, Sean Penn has broken his silence on the circumstances that led him to meeting Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Now remember, Guzman has been known to be a Spanish Jewish name. Not necessarily that he is, but Guzman's a very common Jewish name in Mexico. Expressing regret that the article he wrote about the encounter has not caused a shift in the war on drugs. Penn's interview with Guzman, who twice escaped from a Mexican maximum security prison, appeared last week on the website of the Rolling Stones magazine. Well, you got a lot of publicity out of it, but you didn't get what you wanted, I guess. No, you didn't, you silly little boy. And I believe you're Jewish, too. Sean Penn? Yeah, I think they are, the whole family. I believe. I'm not sure. Wait a minute. Well, the Hollywood Nazis are at it again. Now it's in France. French police have banned a Ukrainian militia accused of neo-Nazism from holding a recruitment meeting in the city of Nantes this week after vigorous protests by the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Well, I'm glad they're stopping them because these people are bad news for National Socialism. Last week, the Jewish Human Rights Organization's International Relations Director, Dr. Shimon Samuels, called upon the mayor of Nantes to prevent the gathering of the Ukraine Azov Regiment, which was organized by the French far-right activists. These are Hollywood Nazis, boys and girls. These guys are over there in eastern Ukraine trying to kill Russians and Russian people over there. And I would not support these people at all. In fact, they're 180 degrees out of phase. The group, which uses Nazi symbols for its subunits, is one of the several independent militias organized to combat pro-Russian insurgents in eastern Ukraine, later being integrated into the country's official security services. Well, I don't buy these people. I don't buy these people. I think there's more honest national socialists of the Russian persuasion than there is of these people. And most of the time, these people come from other countries and go down there to the Ukraine just to get in the shit, you know. So I don't support that at all. If you're a national
Authorities in Germany suspect that the wave of alleged sexual assaults in Cologne on New Year's Eve, which were said to have been committed by migrants from North Africa and the Middle East, was part of a rape game that is popularly known in Arab countries as Taharush. Logan, a South African native and longtime war correspondent, was one of dozens of journalists attacked during several weeks of protests throughout Egypt leading up to Mubarak's ouster in February 2011. Over 200 masked right-wing supporters, carrying placards with racist overtones, went on a rampage in the eastern city of Leipzig on Monday night, throwing fireworks, breaking windows, and vandalizing buildings, police said. The attacks have deepened public skepticism towards Chancellor Angela Merkel's open-door refugee policy and her mantra that Germany can cope with the 1.1 million migrants who arrived in the country last year.
Well, Angela Merkel should be tried for treason in that country, I'll tell you that. That's the craziest damn idea that's ever come along, that Angela Merkel would invite all these millions of people into the country. I would have thought immediately there would have been an uprising in Germany. But these right-wing Hollywood Nazis that go from their countries like England and so forth down into the Ukraine to fight people of Russian persuasion in the East, and the Russians coming over from Russia, are totally delusional. And they don't do hardly anything in their own countries to fight massive non-white immigration. But they got the idea to go to these other countries and play games. I condemn it. Of course, I don't have much power, so I don't think they're going to listen to me. Those not of the Hollywood Nazi persuasion should condemn it. If you're people who are really respect National Socialism, they should condemn this crap. The system loves it. In fact, the system's using it. In fact, the Ukrainian government recruits them. Even though the Ukrainian government's pretty much totally controlled by American corporations and the Jews. They got to be the stupidest Nazis in the world. Here's a good reason why you need your Second Amendment, I'll tell you that. Fearful and defenseless German women, many of whom were attacked and raped by gangs of Muslim men on New Year's Eve, have found an ally in a youth organization with National Socialist links. The group called the Identitarian Movement has been giving German women canisters of pepper spray to defend themselves against attackers. That's a great idea. I encourage that. I support that 100%. Gun ownership is severely restricted in Germany. Get that, progressives? Gun ownership is severely restricted in Germany, while pepper spray is even hard to find in German stores. Huh. So what are you going to defend yourself with? I guess you have to defend on the kitchen butcher knife. The German website Focus said sales of pepper spray have jumped 600% in the past 2 months, and mounting fears of violence coming from newly arrived Muslim asylum seekers from Syria and North Africa. Hence, when the activists from the Identitarian Movement handed out pepper spray in the German town of Halle on Monday, German women gratefully snapped up boxes of the product, according to the New Observer. Now, that's the way to pepper spray. That's why I encourage pepper spray here. It's more effective in many ways than a gun. Germans are increasingly taking the matters into their own hands. A group called the Dusseldorf is Watching attracted 2,300 members in less than 24 hours as people clamored for protection. Members of the group plan to attend major events to protect women from gangs of migrants. German citizens are particularly troubled that their government is covering up migrant rape and violence with negative comments against the migrants condemned by the governmental officials and mainstream media as hate speech. You see, this is good. It's turning the German people against their criminal, rotten government. And it brings right out into the open what rats are in the politicians at the top, whether it's in Germany, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in France or England. The system does not care about you. And so you must not care about the system. And I sincerely hope this whole thing leads to the total fracturing and breaking up of the European Union. It was a bad idea. At first I thought it was going to be a good idea, but now I've decided long ago it's a bad idea. Get rid of it. Well, I guess Elgado can't protect the Pope in his visit to Mexico. The Diocese of El Paso has scrapped plans for a border mass that would have taken place at the same time as the closing mass of Pope Francis' visit to Mexico in February. However, the February 17th papal mass at the fairgrounds in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, across the border from El Paso, is still going to take place as scheduled. Is it too dangerous in the United States? They got to go to Mexico to have their get-together. Elizabeth O'Hara, spokesman for the El Paso Diocese, said security concerns over the size of the anticipated crowd for a U.S.-based mass taking place at the same time as the Juarez mass prompted the change in plans. Are you sure you weren't afraid of ISIS? The Pope is still considered a head of state, O'Hara and the Catholic News Service, January 13th. The Juarez fairgrounds, where the closing mass of Pope France's February 12th to 17th visit will be held, as about a quarter mile from the U.S.-Mexico border. Mm-hmm. And Papa is not going to let him shoot his ass. It became apparent that we didn't know how many people we would be potentially housing on the border, which poses a safety risk. Yeah, right. So you're safer in Mexico, Pope, than you are in the United States. That's interesting. Oh boy, the Pope is bragging about all the people he meets with gets interviewed by anarchists, atheists, and apostles. Boy, that's big of him. The Vatican is not a den of thieves, says the top Vatican official. The Vatican is not a den of thieves, and such insinuations are an injustice to the employees who are proud to serve the Pope and the Church, said Archbishop Angelo Baclui, a top official in the Vatican Secretary of State. But what about the bank and all those people robbed money out of the papal building and the bank? What about all that? And what about the suicides of some of those top officials? What about that, Mr. Popa? Well, this cruise is being outed as a real, real liar. And the latest expert testimony on his birther thing proves he's wrong, and he's wrong about all the money he took from the banks. He tried to twist it around and totally say something totally different than what was put out before by the New York Times. So if you want to get that straight, you got to go back to the New York Times. Admittedly, this is a fight among thieves, but I'm going to see if I can run a little tape for you here on a small recorder. So I hope you can hear it.
It's an hypocrisy. More fear that Donald Trump will win the presidency among Republicans, the presidential primary, says he. And yet, Ted Cruz did all he could to lie and distort everything about himself in order to attack Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz got into it on a few things. And you heard Cruz on the filing of the forms regarding his loan that he took. And he, you know, just kind of lied his way out of that. They then bring up the issue of his citizenship. And I have to tell you, I was reading a Washington Post piece by a constitutional scholar. And it was all about whether or not Ted Cruz is eligible to run for president. And this woman who was writing it was not in any way political, you know, or a Democrat, or she wasn't writing, she was a constitutional scholar writing this, she was saying Ted Cruz is not eligible to be president in a strict constructionist interpretation of the Constitution. He is a naturalized citizen, but not a natural-born citizen. Yeah, her name is Mary Bridget McManaman, and she's a constitutional scholar at Widener's University Delaware Law School. She says Donald Trump is actually right about something. Ted Cruz is not a natural-born citizen, and therefore is not eligible to be president or vice president of the United States. And she goes through all the legalese, but basically she concludes that the founders did want for people who were born outside the country to be able to be naturalized, but she says treated them as citizens. But that's different from a natural-born citizen. They were intent on only natural-born citizens being able to be present. I think it's ridiculous, and if you should be able to be present. They're the ones who put all of this out there when they were attacking Obama, claiming he was born outside the country, even though he had a mother who was a citizen. So it's kind of funny to see them hoisted by their own petard here. But there are scholars who are saying it. Ted Cruz tries to attack the one scholar Donald Trump brings up as being a left-wing partisan. Here it is, when he's asked about the issue of citizenship, and Cruz says Donald Trump had no problem with it in September, but now when he sees the polls changing, he sees him as a threat.
Now, you are, of course, a strict constitutionalist, no one would doubt that, and as you know, the U.S. Constitution says only natural-born citizens are eligible for the office of President of the United States. Stop me if you've heard this before. Now, you were born... You were born in Canada to an American mother, so you were and are considered an American citizen. But that fellow next to you, Donald Trump, and others, have said that being born in Canada means you are not natural born. And that has raised questions about your eligibility. Do you want to try to close this topic once and for all tonight?
Well, Neil, I'm glad we are focusing on the important topics of the evening. Back in September, my friend Donald said that he had his lawyers look at this from every which way. And there was no issue there. There was nothing to this birther issue. Now, since September, the Constitution hasn't changed. But the poll numbers have. And I recognize... that Donald is dismayed that his poll numbers are falling in Iowa. But the facts and the law here are really quite clear. Under longstanding U.S. law, the child of a U.S. citizen born abroad
is a natural-born citizen. If a soldier has a child abroad, that child is a natural-born citizen. That's why John McCain, even though he was born in Panama, was eligible to run for president. If an American missionary has a child abroad, that child is a natural-born citizen. That's why George Romney, Mitt's dad, was eligible to run for president, even though he was born in Mexico.
Now, John McCain was not born in Panama. He was born in the Canal Zone, which was an American territory at the time. And Mitt Romney's father never became president. Okay? There's no... Nobody said you're not eligible to run as president. Ted Cruz is running as president. So you've got to parse this man's words very carefully. Ted Cruz is running as president. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to be a natural-born citizen to run for president. It says you have to be a natural-born citizen to be the president. For all we know about Mitt Romney's dad being born in Mexico, and I don't know the details of that, had he gotten close to the presidency, somebody might have filed a lawsuit and maybe he wouldn't be president. The bottom line is, as this scholar I was reading, whose comments I was reading, Mary Bridget McManaman, she says, you know, I'm not a birther. She says, I am a legal, she says, I'm not a so-called birther, I'm a legal historian. President Obama is without question eligible for the office he serves. The distinction between the president and Cruz is simple. The president was born within the United States, the senator was born outside of it. That is a distinction with a difference. And she says the idea that it's like a piece of cake that he could definitely be president actually comes from comments in the Harvard Law Review, Harvard Law Review Forum by former Solicitor Generals Neil Katyal and Paul Clement. It is actually that spin on it that is biased, because those are conservatives from the Bush White House. And she says, in trying to put the question of who is a natural-born citizen to rest, however, the authors misunderstood, misapplied, ignore the relevant law. And then she explains it. She's saying it's not, you know, settled that the Supreme Court will say that he can't be president, just that they have not ruled on it. And in her opinion, a correct ruling, a reading of the Constitution, would be that he is not eligible to be president. There's an interesting point that she makes, because Congress enacted a naturalization statute in 1790, and it contains the phrase natural born. And she says that Clement inferred from that such citizens must include children born abroad to American parents. But she said the first Congress had no such intent. The debates on the matter revealed that the congressmen were aware that such children were not citizens and had to be naturalized. Hence, Congress enacted a statute to provide for them. Moreover, the statute did not say the children were natural born, only that they should be considered as such. And then she said, finally, as soon as Madison, then a member of Congress, was assigned to redraft the statute in 1795, he deleted the phrase natural born. And it has never reappeared in a naturalization statute. She says, when discussing the meaning of the constitutional term, it is important to go beyond secondary sources and look at the law itself. And on the issue, the law is clear. The framers of the Constitution required the President of the United States to be born in the United States. So you have Ted Cruz. You know, he goes on then to make a theory that Donald Trump would be disqualified because his mother was born in Scotland.
At the end of the day, the legal issue is quite straightforward, but I would note that
Trump would be disqualified because his mother was born in Scotland.
At the end of the day, the legal issue is quite straightforward, but I would note that the birther theories that Donald has been relying on, some of the more extreme ones insist that you must not only be born on U.S. soil, but have two parents born on U.S. soil. Under that theory, not only would I be disqualified, Marco Rubio would be disqualified, Bobby Jindal would be disqualified, and interestingly enough, Donald J. Trump would be disqualified. Because Donald's mother was born in Scotland, she was naturalized. Now, Donald...
But I was born here.
On the issue of citizenship, Donald...
Your difference.
On the issue of citizenship, Donald, I'm not going to use your mother's birth against you.
Okay, sure. Because it wouldn't work.
You're an American, as is everybody else on this stage, and I would suggest we focus on who's best prepared to be commander-in-chief, because that's the most important question facing the country.
Now, again, a distortion. You all admit, do you agree, that Cruz is a master of distortion and manipulation? He creates a straw man. Nobody said that the birther argument included that you had to have a father and mother born in this country. That's not the birther argument. So then he moves on to say then Rubio and then also Donald Trump himself. That's never been the argument, that your mother and father had to be born here. The argument was simply, you had to be born here. And then the question was, but if you weren't born here, but you were born enough of an American parent, are you a American citizen? And that's what they were trying to argue about Obama. He was really born in Kenya to an American mother. And there were still those who said, well, you're still an American citizen. Ted Cruz would have had to say that. But they were trying to argue that hasn't been settled. And the truth is that hasn't been settled. The president, of course, wasn't born in Kenya. He was born in Hawaii. Now there is a lawsuit. Donald Trump predicted there would be lawsuits. And now, today, an 85-year-old trial lawyer, Newton Schwartz Sr., filed a complaint in federal court in the Southern District of Texas arguing that the definition of a natural-born citizen has never been sufficiently settled by the United States Supreme Court. The matter, he said, must be urgently addressed. The entire nation cannot afford such constitutional confusion and uncertainties over changing the electoral process. So that's really what Trump is saying, right? And Trump points to the polls where he's leading and says, it's not because of the polls, I am actually leading you. But then he kind of admits anyway that it is because he is doing better that he's bringing this up. And then he points to Lawrence Tribe, constitutional scholar. Tribe was a professor of Cruz's at Harvard. And yes, you'll hear Cruz try to paint him as a left-wing fanatic and an Obama supporter and all of that. But in fact, Lawrence Tribe recently had stunned everybody by defending the coal industry, which had people like scratching their heads. He was helping Mitch McConnell fight coal companies, right? He's hardly, by that stretch, he filed a lawsuit to block the Environmental Protection Agency, Obama's Environmental Protection Agency, from regulating greenhouse gas emissions. So, yes, he did work for Obama. Yes, he did work for Al Gore. But he's hardly a left-wing fanatic, as you'll hear Cruz try to claim. Anyway, listen to Ted Cruz.
Well, let me just tell you something, and you know because you just saw the numbers yourself. NBC Wall Street Journal just came out with a poll. Headline, Trump way up, Cruz going down. I mean, you can't, they don't like the Wall Street Journal, they don't like NBC, but I like the poll. And frankly, it just came out. And in Iowa now, as you know, Ted, in the last three polls, I'm beating you. So, you know, you shouldn't misrepresent how well you're doing.
Well, I didn't want to bore you with that stuff, but it's just wanting you to understand what you're dealing with is a bunch of crooks. So there you got two of the top leaders in the Republican Party that can be both proven to be, if not crooks, pretty shady in their business dealings and so forth. But this Cruz is slick. He's slick, and he's lying about the loan he got from Goldman Sachs. And he's not talking about his wife working for Goldman Sachs. And he's lying about this birth thing because he don't understand. But the way it usually goes, he'll get by with it and he'll run. And he might even win because he's slick as hell. I think he's slicker than Donald Trump myself. But that's it for now. I'll be back with you on Moon's Day for another round. And don't get too caught up in this election stuff, because it's just a bunch of people in organized crime vying for power. That's all. 14-5.